This is the Chamber Chat Podcast, the show dedicated to chamber professionals to spark ideas and to get actionable tips and strategies to better serve your members and community.
Hello, Chamber Champions. Welcome to Chamber Chat Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Burton, and it's my goal here on the podcast to introduce you to people and ideas to better help you serve your chamber members and your community. Our title sponsor is Community Matters, Inc. With nearly 20 years in the chamber industry and over 100 media awards presented to their chamber partners, Community Matters provides the R&R that every chamber needs, revenue and recognition. When it comes to publishing a chamber map, directory, or community guide, Community Matters has the trusted experience to help your chamber accomplish your goals. With different advertising sales models and publication styles, Community Matters will help you create a non-dues revenue machine. Let's hear from Becky Womble, President and CEO of the Bastrop Chamber, to hear about her experience using Community Matters.
I've been using Community Matters for probably 6 or 7 years now. And in a previous life, I sold commercial printing, so I can highly recommend Community Matters because it's a complete turnkey job for any busy chamber exec. Basically, you give them a membership list, and from there, they contact your members, and it's no high-pressure sales or anything, and it really is a complete turnkey job from start to finish. And it's a wonderful, beautiful printed product whenever you're finished. And I'm very sold on Community Matters, and with a printing background, big endorsement for me.
To learn how Community Matters can support your chamber with your next publication, please visit communitymattersinc.com/podcast to request your free media kit and request a proposal to find out what kind of non-dues revenue you can generate. Our guest for this episode is Candace Brake. Candace is the president and CEO of the Greater Owensboro Chamber of Commerce in Kentucky. She has held the CEO position since 2015 and has a career dedicated to community and economic development. She served as a three-term city commissioner from 2004 to 2010, serving on commissions that led to the downtown placemaking strategy and the region's shift to a knowledge-based economic development strategy. Prior to holding public office, she served as executive vice president of the Greater Owensboro Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Corporation and deputy judge slash executive for the Daviess County Fiscal Court. She has also served as an adjunct professor in the Department of Government at Western Kentucky University. She served on numerous boards and commissions throughout her career. She's also a member of ACCE and the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce Executives and the Kentuckians for Better Transportation. Candace, I am excited to have you with us today here on Chamber Chat Podcast. I'd love to give you a moment to say hello to all the chamber champions that are out there listening and to share something interesting about yourself so we can all get to know you a little bit better.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Brandon, and thanks to Carlos Phillips for passing my name on to you. He's a rock star around here. Hello to all my fellow chamber executives. We're all right now grinding it out, and I think we're all probably dealing with legislative sessions, no matter where we live around the country. So it's such an energizing part of my life to be a part of a group of people who are really pushing our country forward as we push our communities forward, sometimes against all the odds. So thanks for having me here today.
Yes, absolutely. Tell us a little bit about the Owensboro Chamber of Commerce, just to give us an idea of the size of the chamber, scope of work you guys are involved with, staff, budget, that sort of thing, just to set table for our discussion.
So we actually are in the Evansville MSA, to put it in perspective of where we're located. So we're close to Illinois, Indiana, and we're in Kentucky. So we're in a tri-state area. And we have around 180,000 in our MSA. Owensboro is a town of around 60 in a county of around 120. And our chamber, we represent around 1,000 members. Our membership goes all the way from healthcare to nonprofit to churches, and mostly predominantly small business, as most chambers are. Our annual budget is a little over $1 million. And so we operate small. We have a small team of four that serves those 1,000 members. And we're always trying to, like every other chamber our size, we're trying to offer more programs and do more things for our communities, because we know that what we can do, even from a programming perspective, is going to translate into economic growth for our region.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Four staff to service 1,000 members. You guys are hustling. You guys are working. Or you've got really good efficiencies and programs in place. So
I would say both. Yeah. We're just really lucky to have each other too. Great team.
Very good. Well, I'm excited for our topic today as we dive into that around the idea of civic engagement. And I think you have a unique perspective to bring to this topic. And I think across the country, there's, you know, chamber leaders from all different walks of life, some that are just starting day one today, and others that have had a whole career as a chamber executive. And, you know, maybe some feel like they haven't been given the keys or the permission to get involved civically. So I'm excited to dive into that with you as soon as I get back from this quick break.
Are you looking for a year-round, affordable, and timely shop local campaign for your chamber or CVB? Look no further. Build a custom Eat, Shop, Play mobile app with App My Community by visiting appmycommunity.com/chamberchat. App My Community mobile apps are not just simple membership directory listings. They provide many more capabilities to engage with your community. Provide your residents with a robust events calendar. Partner with a local fair, festival, or farmers market to provide a schedule, map, and other resources to promote the event. Run a Small Business Saturday campaign any time of the year using built-in scavenger hunts. Allow your membership to communicate directly to their customers via push notifications. Your App My Community mobile app will be a unique member benefit, allow you to generate non-dues revenue with sponsorship opportunities, and best of all, provide a valuable resource to your community. Please visit appmycommunity.com/chamberchat now to receive 10% off your first year of an App My Community mobile app.
Attention, all Chamber of Commerce leaders. Are you looking for a powerful tool to help you manage your chamber? Look no further than Chamber Nation. Their comprehensive platform provides all the features you need to streamline membership management, host events, communicate with your members, and provide amazing services to your members. Plus, their expert team is always available to provide personalized support. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your chamber to the next level at a price you will truly appreciate. Visit richardscalendar.com to learn more about Chamber Nation today. All right, Candace, we are back. So as I mentioned before the break, we're diving into the topic today of civic engagement. So I would like to hear, probably just to start off, let's hear from your perspective, what should a chamber be thinking of when it comes to being involved civically in their community?
So yeah, I think a lot of that, Brandon, depends on the size of the community where the chamber is. Our community, as I said earlier, we're considered a rural area, but we do have an urban center. We've got just a really interesting mix of what we do here economically, but also, you know, with people who live here. We have a rising Afghan refugee population and then several other refugee populations that are coming to our community that we're very excited about. And we actually have, I believe, I'm bragging, but sometimes I can go just a little, you know, too far, but I believe we have the highest refugee certification rate in the country. And that's due to the fact that we have people in our community that are working tirelessly to do this. So it's, and that person who's in charge of that is actually on our chamber executive committee. So we try to have built a bench that really understands the community engagement piece. People who don't see big pictures often have a hard time understanding why chambers would need to be involved in civic engagement. You know, but all the national studies that you've seen show that communities around the country, that people are dealing with an ever growing sense of isolation. And isolation is not good for human beings, for mental health, but it's also not good for economies. You know, people need to feel like they're part of things to be productive citizens. So that's where we started a few years back. Deliberately, we engaged a data person to look at our civic engagement levels and where they were as compared to around 50 other peer communities around the country. And those peer communities would have been communities without interstates like our community and without four-year public universities. We have two private colleges in our community, but that public university, as we know, is a game changer for communities. So we looked at peer communities to see how we stacked up to those with regard to civic engagement. And what we found was we were clearly lacking in some very critical roles. And our board at that point said, okay, it's time for us to do something proactive and jumpstart where we are as a region, or we're going to fall behind. And that's when we came together and we developed a leadership institute. And that we started it at the chamber, and we nurtured it over a year long period. And now it is a standalone nonprofit it's a nonpartisan. It's a think tank, but it's also a do tank. Okay. Where they're really making things happen. But that, that organization, which is in our building, but separate, it's already making some great headway in civic engagement pieces.
That's fantastic. So I would love to know a little bit more about the Leadership Institute, kind of the purpose, the mission behind that, kind of the work that's driven there. But also, as I touched on in the introduction, those who have been in chamber work long enough have figured out how to get a seat at the table, how to be involved civically. But those mm-hmm. who are brand new, maybe we can just, work it into the conversation as to where they can feel the ownership and the responsibility to really take charge.
And I do think, and this is, I come from a female perspective, but I do see, a lot of chamber presidents around the country, this position is being occupied predominantly more and more by more females, I think. And that's just anecdotal, but women have a harder time of getting, sometimes just taking their seat at the table. That's what we do. That's what we need to do. So, it's not a matter of asking for it. It's just taking it and, stepping out of our comfort zone. We're representing the business community. We're representing nonprofits and people who want to make things happen. And, to me, anytime I would feel hesitant on getting that seat, I think about, this isn't about me. This is about all the people that I'm representing that write a check to my organization to fund our work. And I have to do this for them.
Right. Yeah. I think that's really good perspective to bring, that it's not about you. You got to get over the uncomfortable situation and just take charge and realize it's for the people you represent.
And that makes it a lot easier to push your way in the table when you realize this isn't about me. This is about, it's about all those other folks.
It is. And as you push a certain agenda too, it's not about you or your political views at all. It's about representing the business community. Right. So
and that helps. That helps.
Yes. Yeah. So tell us a little more about the Leadership Institute then, about what that involves and kind of the origins of that and how it's become what it is now, spun off into its own nonprofit.
It was really an origins of a business community and business leaders around our table and nonprofit execs and higher ed leaders and people that were seeing that you don't know how to say this in a constructive way, but a lack of intergenerational leadership in our community. The majority of our elected officials at that time, it was actually maybe all of them, were white men, Catholic, over the average age, I think, was 71.
That sounds pretty normal, right? Yeah. There was a time that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, that's city and county. Okay. That was all of our elected officials, local. So, it was a matter of the chamber going, okay, this is not working for us. We have to bring everyone to the table. Everyone has a unique perspective. And we have to create a city where people want to be if we're going to compete. And we are all saying this, and everybody that's listening to it is shaking their head because this is what we all deal with every day. But the Leadership Institute was formed on that knowledge and the foundation that we have to do something. We can't be passive and wait for someone else to do something. A cultural piece in our community has been really over the last 30 years is to look to elected officials to lead and to kind of acquiesce the role of citizen engagement to them. So our Leadership Institute is, it's more about grassroots leadership. It's involving everyone and teaching people in their role as citizen, teaching them how to get power for things that matter to them and that they feel like matters to the community. We have based this on the Kansas Leadership Center's adaptive leadership model. And we do adaptive leadership training quarterly for people who have been in other leadership programs in the community that are interested. And that's been really, really interesting and cool to watch people, the light bulbs come on in people's eyes, you know, like, oh, I don't have to be an elected official. I don't, to make this change. And we have some really great things happening now because of that.
Yeah. So personally, you took civic engagement to another level, right? You worked at the chamber and then became an elected official for a time period and right. back to the chamber. And I understand there in Owensboro, there's a little bit of a history of chamber staff becoming elected officials. Yeah. So, but I'd love to know what perspective that brings for you as well from having the chamber point of view and then as the elected official and then bringing it back to the chamber.
Yeah. Yeah. And also with the county, because I was on the county staff too, was their administrator for a while. So yeah, I think the local government experience as an elected official, but also as a staff person, it really gives you an inside knowledge on the nuances of how they operate, first of all, you know. But also, you know, it's kind of, there's no mystery, you know, it kind of takes the veil off. It's, you know, it's representative government and they're here to represent us. And, you know, that's all. I don't know how else to, that's yeah. the perspective.
No, that's good. In that experience, was there talk about chambers of commerce or how, trying to get the local chamber involved at different things, or was always. It very siloed?
No, the chamber was always, what's the chamber going to think about this? What's the chamber going to say? And then when we did that massive economic development placemaking strategy piece downtown, the chamber support for that was critical. Because we did raise a tax to fund, it was $150 million in infrastructure improvements, and then $40 million from the federal government, thanks to Senator McConnell. But we had to raise those, we had to raise taxes. So the chamber coming to that meeting, when we raised it, we had a city commission chamber full of very angry, very loud, as anyone can imagine. And it was one of the toughest meetings I've had, and I've had some tough ones, but having the chamber there to stand up and support us was invaluable. It didn't slow the din of the cave people, the citizens against virtually everything,
yeah.
but it did give us the wind. I don't know. And the courage, you know? So as a chamber president now, I know how important our role is to those elected officials and to the staff. You know, because yeah. sometimes the staff are doing things that the elected officials don't like, but the chamber wants them to do it. So it, you know, we have an important lobbying role within all the things that happen in the community.
Right. And every community is so different on what their needs are and what those hot topics are at the moment. But for somebody who may be newer in the position, what would be a good first step to try to maybe level up their or get involved civically and really... I know it's about taking the seat, but really making the introductions, trying to go to lunch with somebody, like what would you suggest, like tactic wise, to try to get involved?
So I think the adaptive leadership model is the most important, you know, because your core constituents are going to depend on what issues, you know, and if you were moving into a new community, I think that would be one of the more difficult chamber roles to take, because you have to find out, you know, where's the power. And who are the players? Who can you trust? You have to do a lot more listening than speaking for, I would say, a year, you know, and that's what I did. You have to learn the role back, but you do have to learn who's listening to whom and, you know, who are the experts in what areas and who are the, you know, where are the hidden roadblocks or the hidden, I don't say enemies, but the people that are going to try to kill projects in progress.
Yeah. So do you find that as a chamber, you're taking issues to your local governments Or are you seeing what the local government's doing, trying to get behind those things that support local business? Or does it go both ways? How does that relationship flow?
It's absolutely a mixture. You know, it's every day is a different, you know, piece of our partnership. But some days it's them coming to us, and some days it's our going to them. But regardless, it's that partnership is very important to all of us here. And it's the only thing that we can, when people stop talking, we stop moving forward.
Right. Right. Now, I think that's so key. So I always like asking this question. So for listeners who are out there who want to take their chamber up to the next level, what kind of tip or action item might you suggest that they can maybe try implementing at their own chamber to see some positive results?
Well, I think for smaller chambers, one of the problems is that we don't have the time to do things that we need to do. And I think one part of what I did when I got into this position was we had all of these active committees, and I have a different philosophy on that of the committee meetings, because I worked in the old chamber days where we had small business committee that had to meet once a month. We had to have the programming, we had to do, and then I staffed four other committees, and all I was doing was staffing committees and not doing work, you know, not doing the important work for the community. So we have we did an essential, basically an inventory on really where we are the chamber. We are a small business committee. There seems to be, so we eliminated things and then we shifted to programming. And that has been that's been something I think that's made us very successful. It has helped us engage a different group of people in the community through our programming. And it's also given us an opportunity to develop some non-dues revenue potential. And I mean, we all know that the non-dues revenue is very important to our existence.
Yes. No, I think that's such a key point to touch on, and really just taking that inventory of, you know, what is it that's sucking all your time out, right?
And why are we doing this? You know, why are we doing this? And is this really feeding our mission the way it needs to? Right.
Yes. So it's not only the time, but it's the energy that gets sucked into, like you were saying, these different committees, right? So then when it comes back to that important work of really moving the ball forward, there's nothing left in the tank. So I think being able to reassess, eliminate, shift those priorities and programming, I think you guys are, that's great, great tip for listeners to really take inventory and see what they can do.
But you got to be brave to do it, because it ruffles feathers, and you have old timers who had been on the small business committee for 35 years. And, you know, that was their thing. So, you know, but you got to find a way to get those people on board too.
That's right. In fact, we did an episode a few weeks ago about overcoming the vocal minority. So if you missed that, go back and listen to that one.
If only we could do that. I think we need to know a lot about that.
That's right. Absolutely. So I like asking everybody, as we look to the future of Chambers of Commerce, how do you see the future of chambers and their purpose going forward?
Well, I think as our local communities across the country become more nationalized in their politics, I think chambers are going to be more important than ever. We have an existential piece, particularly in areas like Owensboro, where we have lost corporate headquarters. And those corporate headquarters, when they move to other communities around the country, they lose that loyalty that they would have to their local chambers. You know, Walmart was, you know, they're not members, but we do, you know, everything that we do helps Walmart. And, but you look at so many different companies that have taken chambers off of their radar screens, and in essence, what they're doing is making money in a community, and then they'll give some money to a charity, and then think that checks their block when the chamber's doing the heavy lifting for the charity as well. So we have to figure out how to articulate to those corporations why we are important, and get people to understand that and to care about it. So I think that's going to be a real challenge. But the scary part is there's that big challenge there, but there's also the vacuum that we have to fill with the leadership piece. And you look around the country, and I look at my colleagues and the great work they're doing. And I believe more than ever, you know, and I believe the chambers of commerce can make our country better. I really do, because they don't care what party you're in. They don't care what your private agendas are. We are just trying to move the community forward. We're the great example of really how our country can work, you know, better.
Yeah. No, and I think you hit on something there with really getting that messaging down to these big corporations that are more national chains, because they do. They look at the bottom line and what's going to make the most profit, and then they'll give something back to the community, but it's not hitting where it counts the most.
Right. It's for show.
It is. It's for show. And I've seen that, and seen the messaging that these big corporations put out about essentially just that. It's about the bottom line. Yeah. So if anybody hits on something that works well there, you know, please share it with us. I'll have you on the podcast and we'll talk all about it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, Candace, for anyone listening who would like to reach out and connect with you or learn a little bit more about how you guys approach your civic engagement there in Owensboro, what would be the best way for them to reach out and connect with you?
My email, which is cbrake@owensboro.com.
That's perfect.
And I would love to hear from colleagues from around the country.
Yeah.
Energizing and empowering, because we are really all going through. And I will say one more thing that I would give to a younger or a new person in the chamber world is find another chamber executive somewhere that's leading, that's similar to your organization, that you can call. And you might be calling to cuss about the mayor, or you might be calling to cry because your board chair, you know, did something, you know, but it's having that person that you can trust and that really understands, because as we all know, nobody understands like how insane this world is until they've been in it, and the complexities and the balancing act and everything we do every day. There's not a lot of folks that understand it.
Yeah.
So we always call it chamber time, because chamber time here, you know, 1 week is actually about 2 years, it feels like, right? I mean,
True. And I think that's such a great piece of advice. And I would even add to it that as you look to the other chamber executive, the other chamber professional to connect with and have your chamber time, look at where you are professionally and look at someone who's maybe a step or two ahead of you, however you determine that. But there are some real icons in the chamber world.
It
may seem unattainable to get to where they're at if you try to connect with them right away. But look at somebody who's a step or two ahead of you. That's doable. You can get that. Yes. And you can look to the adding more people to your chamber time.
And
right?
we all know, Brandon, and I know you feel the same way. We all know that it makes us feel just as good to be that person that's called by the younger and the more aspiring. We get just as much out of it, you know, as we do when we call the person that's 2 years or two things up the rung from us. It takes all of us.
You get all those reminders of when you were in that position a few years before, and like, oh yeah, that's why we do this now, right?
Oh, yes. And also, you know, it always works out.
That's right. Well, I will get your email and our show notes for this episode, so anyone can look you up there and connect with you. But I really appreciate you setting aside some time today amid your busy chamber schedule to be with us and offer your experience and insights, especially on this important topic of civic engagement. So thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. And thanks to everyone else for all the great work you're doing.
If you are a chamber professional, please subscribe to Chamber Chat Podcast in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. When you subscribe to Chamber Chat Podcast, new episodes will show up in your podcast app each week as they are released. If you're finding value in this podcast, please leave us a rating and a review in iTunes. But most importantly, please share Chamber Chat Podcast with your colleagues that are in the industry.